Our second reading from Psalm 118, 14 through 24. And as we read and listen, we believe there are undertones of the coming of Jesus Christ centuries after this psalm was written. See if you can pick them up as we read. Psalm 118, verses 14 through 24. God's my strength, He's also my song, and now He's my salvation. Hear the shouts, hear the triumph songs in the camp of the saved. The hand of God has turned the tide. The hand of God is raised in victory. The hand of God has turned the tide. I didn't die. I lived. And now I'm telling the world what God did. God tested me. He pushed me hard, but He didn't hand me over to death. Swing wide the city gates, the righteous gates. I'll walk right through and thank God. This temple gate belongs to God, so the victors can enter and praise. Thank you for responding to me. You've truly become my salvation. The stone the masons discarded as flawed is now the capstone. This is God's work. We rub our eyes. We can hardly believe it. This is the very day God acted. Let's celebrate and be festive. Here ends our scripture reading. May all of us sense God's presence as we seek to understand Scripture this morning. The message of Easter is not always easy to understand. And since the first Easter grown-ups have discussed and debated the significance of the resurrection, it happened that younger children got somewhat confused by all the traditions, the doings of Easter. There is the gem of a story about a group of 5-year-olds in a Sunday school class. Teacher asks, "Does anyone know what today is?" One little girl said, "Today is Easter Sunday because Jesus rose from the grave." The teacher exclaimed, "That's fantastic, wonderful." But the little girl had more to say, so she kept on talking. "But if he sees his shadow..." "He has to go back in for 7 more weeks." Easter tells us that the long night has ended. The daylight has broken. The pain and suffering is over. Death and destruction is no more. Easter is a celebration of new life and new beginnings in Christ. Foremost in our minds today are the biblical accounts of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. On the very first Easter, the joyful hallelujahs, the life songs of a forgiven and resurrected people replaced the hateful cries of "Crucify, crucify, crucify." The death-dealing cross on which Jesus suffered became a tree of life-bearing fruits of forgiveness. The sealed tomb became a symbol of liberation. Today is a very good day to worship with joy and to give glory to God. Easter is a very good day indeed. It's also a good time for Christians to witness, to think or talk about death and life after death. All Christianity agrees on the eternal nature of the life and the message of Jesus Christ. However, the mystery of life and death after life after death remains a closer book for us today. We can only wonder. No one to tell us. No one came back in our times to say, well, okay, I died and guess what? It still remains a mystery. Martin Luther, the Protestant church reformer, explained our not knowing about the details of an afterlife with a particularly appropriate analogy. Luther said, we can know as much about life beyond death as an unborn baby traveling down the birth canal and about to be born can know about the world it is about to enter. How much is that? Well, let's be honest. Nothing. Yet Luther's comparison affirms his belief that there is something at the end of the journey. In the midst of this uncertainty, we can be confident of one thing. When we die, we do not die into nothingness. We die into God and into the presence of God. However, already in this life, we can understand what salvation means. That is more clear to us. At the center of our discovery of salvation is a defined relationship with God in the present. And God's gifts to us are freedom, joy, peace, and love, leading us to compassion and guiding us to justice under all circumstances. God is real. God is a reality. God is present. That's the way we opened our worship service this morning. And need I remind you how many times we talk in this church about the reality of the presence of God in our lives. So the invitation of the Christian message is to enter into a relationship that leads us to healing and wholeness. It's a relationship which transforms us by healing the wounds of our existence and transforming our lives in the here and now into a life with God. Now, folks, it's not easy, let's be honest. It's not easy to come to grips with the concept of a risen Christ. After 48 years in the pulpit, I know that that is something that's been in my mind then, through the years, and now. The Bible describes several incidents of how difficult it was when, directly after it happened. It was long ago, and many in our time will tell you that it's still not easy. The biblical stories include what? Think of this. Of a doubting Thomas. Did he believe in the resurrection? Bring your hand, put my finger in it. I don't think he got much beyond that. But that was his response, his first response. Think about the Emmaus walkers. Jesus was in company with them, and finally they invited him to supper. And it only became a reality to him while they were breaking bread. And in the breaking of the bread, they discovered the presence of Jesus. Not dead and buried, but now everywhere. The weeping Mary by the graveside of Jesus unexpectedly, says the Bible, heard somebody calling her name. And I believe, and I just add this in, that just the way that the voice of Jesus said, Mary, was enough for her. So familiar. Mary. How could she respond? Rabboni. Teacher. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that electrifying moment in the life of Christianity? Mary would never doubt again. She could say, I have seen the Lord. And later, the Apostle John wrote that the disciples were still in hiding, locked behind doors for fear of the Jews. This is, in our counting, about 40 days later. They didn't dare to come out. They weren't rejoicing. Oh, he's alive, he's alive. They were fearing for their lives. Until when? Bible says, suddenly, unexpectedly, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you. And on this Easter day, our living Lord greets us with the very same words. Peace be unto you. And that became the core message of Easter. And that takes me to a question that I cannot avoid. Is there somebody present here this morning who has not yet experienced the peace that only Christ can offer? This is the invitation of Easter. Come on out into the sunlight on this Easter morning. He will give you peace and be with you until the end of time. Let His love flood your heart and your soul this morning. Because He lives, I can walk into the future because I no longer fear. Because I have discovered the Lord of my life changed and it now has purpose. And I know where I'm going. My life got meaning. And you who know the Lord, He gave meaning to all our lives. And because He lives, our weeping has ended. And our sunset of despair has turned into a sunrise of hope. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone, because I know He holds the future and life is worth the living just because He lives. If you hear an invitation coming from deep inside you this morning, it's not me. It's not this service, it's not this church. When you hear the voice, come to me and I will give you rest. It comes from the Master Himself. Amen.